The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us as well. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get your question on the air here this evening. And we got a number of other things to talk about yet tonight, too. So we're going to go ahead and get right into our program here this evening. Let's have a word of prayer to get started here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray, bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. We just thank you for the opportunity. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis with you till midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let me encourage you to check us out online. You can find our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. If you get confused, you just go to livewithpastoral.com and there's a link there. You can also link to our homepage. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us out there if you're ever in the area, northeastern Ohio, if you're visiting, or if you're in northeastern Ohio and you're somewhere in the area between Summit, or between Akron and Cleveland. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 meet. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and you can find out all that information and more located at our website, livewithpastoral.com. I also want to mention to you that we are on Facebook Live right now. And if you log on to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral, you can find us there as well. And I'll let you know in advance, if callers call in and you're watching on Facebook Live, you won't hear them because we're still struggling trying to get some technical issues worked on there. But you can certainly tune in there. We'd love to have you. Let's see. I want to mention a couple of things here also as we get started here this evening. I had a really great time yesterday. My wife and I were invited out to one of the churches in the area, North Coast Baptist Church, pastored by Pastor John Lutz, located in Lakewood, Ohio. They're out on the west side of Cleveland. And if you're here in the area and you listen to us on our home station of 1220 AM, 1220, The Word here, WHKW in Cleveland, Ohio, you'll hear Pastor Lutz there on Friday afternoons at 1 o'clock. He precedes my program that comes on at 1:30. We're on for half an hour every Friday on AM 1220. And you can, of course, find that station at whkwradio.com. And excuse me, Pastor Lutz has filled in for me on our Friday afternoon program on occasion. I filled in for him. Sometimes we've even merged our shows together, dealing with different topics from time to time. But Pastor Lutz had invited me to come out and speak to their Christmas banquet yesterday. And so we had a really good time, enjoyed meeting some people out there that listened to the program and enjoyed being able to fellowship there with Pastor Lutz and his family and the church family there. We really had a great time, very hospitable group, very good food that was available for us as well. And so we had a great time. So I'm just thankful to be able to be out there with Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church. And, you know, if you're down in the South, you're down in Florida, or you're down in the Carolinas or somewhere listening, the term North Coast might sound kind of odd to you. But up here in northeastern Ohio, if you look on the map, we are the North Coast. I mean, because Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes, is right just to the north of us. What is it, probably about 10 miles from where we're sitting right now, if that far. And it forms the border between us and Canada, and it's a watery border. And you can go out on the lake, and you can get into places. Well, certainly if you're standing on the lake shore, you don't see the other side of the lake. That's why it's called a Great Lake. It's big, and it's one of the smaller of the Great Lakes. It's nothing like Lake Huron or Lake Superior or Lake Michigan. It's much smaller, and yet it's a very interesting place to live because it's the northern coast of the United States. You just don't think about it that much. And so hence the term North Coast. And so that's a common term for some things up here. So Lakewood is right on the lake, and they're called North Coast Baptist Church. So you can check them out online as well. I don't know the website right off the bat, but you can find them at North Coast. Well, again, as I said, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's our number, 888-677-9673. And we have a caller calling in already. We have Jamie calling in tonight. Jamie, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to tell I'm in London, Ontario.
Well, that's right, and when you look at it, it's all a matter of perspective. Lake Erie is your south coast.
Yeah.
For us, it's the north coast, but for you in Canada, it's the south coast.
Yeah. We have four coasts here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you, like, you have a lot of listeners up here.
Right. And, you know, it's really kind of nice because where we're situated here, the transmitter is located actually a little south of where we're sitting on a much higher elevation than where we're sitting right now. And it's able to reach out across the lake. And so we're certainly thankful for all our friends in Canada that listen to us as well.
Yeah. Like, I love Sunday nights. Like, I start at 9, I listen to Ernie, then
the program that it's on 1220, and for our listeners down in Florida on Faith Talk 570-910 WTBN, our caller's talking about the station here in northeastern Ohio broadcasts just south of Lake Erie, so the signal actually travels a fair piece up into Canada, so guess we can honestly call ourselves an international program, huh?
Well, AM radio travels a long way.
Oh, yes, it does. And that's
off the atmosphere. Like FM radio is just line of sight.
Yeah, and the nice thing about AM at night is it travels even further because once the sun sets, the sun's like a giant radio transmitter, and it kind of gets in the way.
And the ionosphere goes up.
Yeah, and it reflects. I've heard in the past that they've actually had people from over in, I want to say, either Denmark or Sweden that have had sent letters in the past to the local station here where they have actually heard the radio station on the air, you know, listening with a radio set. I can remember as a kid having a little crystal radio set. And just kind of going through trying to listen and, you know, pick up Canadian stations. You get some out of parts of Canada where they broadcast in French and things like that. So yeah, it's always kind of interesting.
I'm big into shortwave radio, and you have to be on the dark side of the planet.
Oh, yeah, to get effective signals, huh?
Yeah, like once you're on the light side of the planet, you know, everything gets all mangled.
Right.
Yeah. But I caught you day before yesterday, Friday night.
Oh, okay, yes, on our Friday program.
Yeah, with the fellow about the, you know, where's the word of God?
Oh, okay, you're talking, there's a local program here in northeastern Ohio, gentleman by the name of Bruce Musselman, Where That's is right. God's
yeah,
Word?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was on with
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And that would have been Thursday, unless they replayed it, because some of those programs get replayed at different times. So,
yeah.
And that's, think, you know, think, kind of the amazing thing that happens is, you know, our programs go out on the air and they're out on the internet, and it gives an opportunity yeah. for people to hear it all over.
Yeah. I think Musselman, I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's does a very good job. He's got an encyclopedic knowledge of church and Bible history.
Yeah,
and I'm better with the principles and things of that nature. But he can give you. He's one of those guys that when you were in school, everybody sat behind somebody or next to somebody in school that, like in history class, they knew all the dates, they knew all the names, and they never got them wrong. And he would have been that kid.
Yeah.
He's got a good memory for that.
I've been reading the King James Bible since I was 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ever since I learned to read. And,
yeah. Well, I grew up reading it myself. And then when I was living in England with the United States Air Force, I started using the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And I had been told by some people that I thought knew what they were talking about that it was better. And then the church that I rededicated my life to the Lord in, a friend of mine who was responsible for me coming to church, he asked me a question. He said, why do you use that one instead of the New International Version or the King James or something like that? And I said, well, you know, and I gave him my reasons. And he said, well, did you ever hear about the two streams of manuscripts? And I didn't know about that. And I asked him what he meant. And he said, well, the Antiochian stream and the Alexandrian stream. And that was revolutionary or revelatory, I guess, to me. Not revolutionary, revelatory to me. It opened my eyes because in the other things that I had read, nobody said anything about it. It was like it didn't exist. And as I began to look into that, I realized that the only English translation that we commonly have available today that comes from the Antiochian stream of manuscripts, which is where the Textus Receptus comes from. And it goes back to, remember, they were first called Christians at Antioch. In Acts chapter 13 is where Paul went out on his first missionary journey from Antioch. And this is where Bible-believing Christians have preserved the Word of God, sometimes at great cost and opposition, even their lives, down through the ages, as opposed to Alexandria, Egypt, where a series of people who despised the Word of God and did not believe in the deity of Christ, did not believe in the blood atonement, the resurrection, the virgin birth, you name it, they didn't believe in it, and they were corrupting and making changes and subtractions from their Bibles left and right, and that gave us the basis of the Alexandrian text, which comes down to us today in essentially every other English translation, the New International Version, New American Standard Version, all that.
But all the academia about the, you know, the Bible translation, it just gives me a headache.
Oh yeah. Well, there's
like I said, I started reading King James when it, you know, as soon as I learned to read, and I just go by the principle is my sheep hear my voice, and then they recognize me.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people object, it's too hard to read, and it's not. You said you were reading it when you were young.
I've heard that a million times. People say, well, I don't understand all the these and those. That's just a cop-out.
Well, yeah, and I always explain to people that when you see the these and the thous, as well as the yees and the yours, they're there for a reason. People in England in the 1600s did not go around speaking like that. What they did when they translated the Bible into English in the 1600s there is they needed a way to preserve the the plural, or I'm sorry, the plural and the singular personal pronouns that were in the Greek and the Hebrew, which was not available commonly in the English. And so what they did is they made a mechanism by using the these, the thous, and the yees, and the yours. So basically, if anybody has confusion over the these and the thous and all that, it's very simple to understand. If it starts with th, like thee, thou, and thine, it's a singular personal pronoun. If it starts with y, like you, your, and ye, that's a plural personal pronoun. And I always tell people, it's easy to tell the difference. You know, if I'm talking to a group of people and I say, I'm going to give you $100. Now, if there's five people there, I might be going to give everybody $20. I'm going to give the group $100. I could mean that. Or I could mean I'm going to give one person $90 and I'm going to split up the other 10 amongst the other four people, or any combination thereof. Or it could mean I'm only going to give one person that I'm talking to the $100. But if I say I'm going to give thee $100, then the person I'm talking to knows that he is the person I'm meaning that's going to get the $100, because it's a singular pronoun. When you understand that...
Yeah,
I was going to say there's some parts of the scriptures.
You know what I tell people, but like when we're talking about these things?
Yeah.
The best Bible study help I have, you know, beside my Bible when I'm reading is English Dictionary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when I was reading the Bible, and when I came back to the King James, I was looking at some words that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to do what I did when I was in college. I had my college dictionary, my Webster's, was it New World Third Edition Collegiate Dictionary, I think is what, or Collegiate New World Dictionary, Third Edition. Yeah. And I opened it up, and every word that I had trouble with in the King James, when I opened up that book, I found them in there. There was a passage that talked about milch kine. I thought, what in the world's a milch kine? It's milk cows.
It's not rocket science. Like, no. We're supposed to study.
Exactly. Study to show thyself approved unto God, is what the Bible says. And,
like when somebody says to me, well, I don't understand thee and thou, like that, I just say that's a cop out.
Yeah, because it's not hard, because once you learn the difference between one, the th form is a personal, singular personal pronoun, and the y form is a plural personal pronoun, it opens up your understanding of Scripture so much better. Because when you revert everything, you know, simplify everything to a you and a your, you lose much of the meaning of Scripture. And, you know, can people get saved out of those other Bibles? Absolutely. Can people grow as Christians those other Bibles? Absolutely. But I want a sharp knife.
My mentor, he's gone now, but we were talking about these things, and he said if you're stranded on a remote island out in the South Pacific, and you had a NIV Bible, would you be able to learn about God?
And yes, you could, except that, you know, I mean, well, we won't need to get into all the details and the differences there, but what I'm talking about, I want to have the sharpest knife.
Yeah, but we're here in North America. We have the ability to get the best possible scriptures.
Yeah, I want a Bible that upholds the fact that Jesus is a part of the Godhead, and the NIV takes that away over in 1 John chapter 5. You know, it just takes away one of the clearest verses in the Bible. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, you know, and they take that away, and they try to claim falsely that it's not in the oldest scripture. It's not in any Greek manuscript prior to the 1600s or something like that. And I forget what their footnote says, but
somebody told me NIV stands for non-inspired version.
Well, and there's a lot of things that people come up with an acronyms for it, but there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's a very clear statement of the Godhead. And there's much more. And there's many more scriptures that you can can find. And if I could just give out a website, wayoflife.org, has some good materials that are balanced, good materials that anybody can benefit from on this. That's wayoflife.org. And also, you can go to a website that's whereisgodsword.com and listen to the program that we were talking about earlier. So,
Friday.
That's I want to have the best Bible. My wife is a nurse, an RN. And when she's talking with other nurses, I say it's like nurse talk. You know, they have their own shorthand, their own technical jargon that they learn, and they know because that's the language they speak when they're talking about nursing. When I was studying biology, I could tell you that there's a herd of quadruped ungulates browsing on the forbs outside in the riparian zone, and most people haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, but people that studied that and want to know, they know exactly what I was talking about. There's some deer out there by the stream browsing on some of the little plants out there, nibbling on them. And it's just any profession has its own jargon.
Yeah.
So why, when we come to the Bible, are we afraid of learning new words?
Yeah. There's a website I'd like to share with you if I could. It's called God Said, Man Said.
Oh, okay. I've heard that advertised on some of the, I'm trying to think what stations have said that advertised. I think some of the Salem stations advertise GodSaidManSaid.com.
I've heard it on 1220.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's been on 1220 and some of their sister stations. I think
it's fantastic.
Yeah, they've got some good materials there. So, hey, Jamie, I appreciate that. I got another caller yet before the break here to get to.
Yeah, I don't want to hug all the
time. Well, that's okay. I enjoy talking with you this evening. And I want to thank you for calling and hope that you'll have a very merry and blessed Christmas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Call back again.
Okay.
All right. God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom on the line. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor. Yeah, this is your friend Tom. How you doing?
Hi, I'm glad to hear from you tonight, Tom. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to ask you real quick here, and pretty historic day we had last week here with Donald Trump, our president, declaring that, hey, we're recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel.
And that is, I think, very exciting news. I was talking about that a little bit with some different people. We talked about that a little bit on our Friday program. And I like to point people over to the book of Zechariah. You bring that up in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and verse number 2 and 3. We can see this right now very, very strongly. He says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Boy, it's a burdensome stone, isn't it, to some people today?
Let me ask you real quick, because I know you're going to go to break, and then I can listen to you talk about it afterwards. You know, I think there's a lot of people that have maybe a misconception, but my understanding is that God is actually going to bring the nations against Israel in the last days for the purpose of judging them and showing his glory strong to preserve Israel.
Well, and you can see in that passage I read there in Zechariah chapter 12 at the end of verse 3, he said, "Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it," and that's it, they're gathered together. And you are right, because when you read in Revelation chapter 19, that's what we see. We see the nations gathered together under the armies of the Antichrist coming, laying siege to Jerusalem, and that's when Jesus comes back and judges them. You're right.
Yeah, very good. So for we Christians, we're looking up, and I'll tell you, our redemption's drawing close. So
that's right.
Have a great night, and be listening in.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate your call tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking a break here in just a moment. And I hope you'll stay tuned here tonight. We're going to be on until about midnight here this evening. And our telephone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And in the next half hour, we may pick up a little bit more on this subject of Jerusalem and President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And you would think that this would be a no-brainer. After all, we go back to about 1000 BC when King David captured Jerusalem and established his throne there, and it's basically been the capital of the Jewish state, of course, under King David, under King Solomon. After King Solomon, the split between the northern and southern kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah, retained Jerusalem as its capital, and many of the 12 tribes of Israel, they went down and stayed in the southern kingdom because that's where the temple was, and as they gathered together there, they had Jerusalem as their capital. And even after the captivity, when they came back, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilt the temple, and again, that was their center, that was their political, that was their social, that was their spiritual center. And then, of course, at the time of Christ, their whole spiritual life, their national life, revolved around Jerusalem. And Jesus went to the temple there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And, of course, that's where he purged the temple and drove out the money changers and those that were buying and selling the sheep and all that. And so Jerusalem has been a very central part until they were finally evicted by the Romans. And then, of course, they came back into the land, and it is their capital. Well, we're going to take a break here. I hope you'll stay with us and join us for the next half hour. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 844-286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Just a reminder, of course, that we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And also, we have a sponsor here locally, and that is East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And we also mention them here, even though a number of our listeners are out of the area and out of state. And down in Florida, of course, we're not only here in our home station, AM 1220, The Word, WHKW radio here in Northeast Ohio, but we're also on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN down in Tampa, Florida. You can find them at letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com. And of course, locally, WHKWradio.com is the website there. But we advertise East Coast Pizza because even if you don't live in the area, if you're interested in establishing your own pizza place, or maybe you have a restaurant and you're wanting to add pizza to your menu, you can contact them and they'll help you get started for a lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and he'd be glad. Just ask for Gus. He'd be glad to help you out. Well, we're going to get back into a couple of things here today, and a couple of things that I'm hoping to touch on here, if not tonight, certainly between now and Christmas Eve. And one of those topics that I want to talk about, I had a listener actually on Facebook Live about a week or so ago had asked me a question regarding the virgin birth of Christ and wanted to know what the significance of that was, had a question about that, and specifically about Mary. Was Mary a sinner or not? Was she without sin? And so we're hoping to talk about that. I don't know if I'll get to that yet tonight, but certainly sometime between now and Christmas Eve, we'd like to talk about that. And I just wanted to mention that, to mention that I'll be here live on Christmas Eve. Now, there are certain people in the studio who say, no, no, because I guess they want to wait up for Santa Claus. But I'm sorry, he's not coming. He's waiting for me. So I've disappointed our board operator tonight. So if the program goes off the air completely, you'll know what happened. So, but at any rate, no, we'll be on live on Christmas Eve, and we'll be reading our annual Christmas Eve or our Christmas reading. It's the birth of Christ according to the Scriptures. Some time ago, I put this together when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and it's become sort of our thing we do every Christmas. We do it on the radio program with the program closest to Christmas, and so that, of course, will be Christmas Eve this year. And it's the birth of Christ from the Scriptures, not just the Gospel of Luke. It includes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I think 1 Timothy. It includes several passages from parts of the New Testament. It includes parts from Isaiah, different parts of the Micah, and different parts of the Old Testament, and all brought together in one narrative. And I mention that because you can find that available. You can get a copy of that for free if you want to get an ebook copy of that. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can click on the book, the picture for the book, The Birth of Christ According to the Scriptures, and that'll take you to a site where you can download a free e-copy. It's available, you know, rather than sell it, we've given out, I don't know how many hundreds of those online, I suppose we could try and sell it, but I just look at it, it's God's Word, and so why should I sell it? We put it together, it's available, doesn't cost me anything to let people download it, and it's been a blessing to a lot of people. So let me encourage you to visit our website, livewithpastoral.com, click on the picture there for the Birth of Christ booklet, And you can download that as an e-copy. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our other things with our program tonight. Toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Reverend Al. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening.
Oh, you were talking about Jerusalem, and I'm looking at Matthew 23:37.
All right, Matthew chapter 23, you said?
Right, verse 37.
Let me turn over there real quick. Well, I don't know if it'll be real quick, but I'm turning there.
Jesus didn't have a very good impression of Jerusalem.
Matthew chapter 20. Well, yeah, there were times where Jerusalem, representing the nation, had to come under condemnation because of their rebellious nature. Matthew 23 and which verse did you say?
37.
37? Okay, I didn't think verse 7 was what you wanted. Verse 37, yes. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. That's a strong indictment on the nation, using the capital, just like when people will say, well, Washington said... And they're talking about a position in the United States of America. Thankfully, the United States is now going to say, and Jerusalem said, when they're talking about a position of the nation of Israel. But this is an indictment against them because it's absolutely true. God sent prophet after prophet to Jerusalem, and they killed them, they stoned them, and he wanted them to come together, and he wanted them to accept the prophets and to listen to them. But in their rebelliousness, they didn't. So,
yeah, he even declared a woe on Jerusalem.
And he has in different spots, yeah.
And I was listening to a program on your station this morning talking about the parable of the vineyard.
All right. Well, I was not listening to that program, so you'll have to fill me in.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 43.
All right, Matthew chapter 21. Verses 33 through 43. This is where he had the parable. A certain householder, I'll just review it real quick, had a vineyard. He hedged it about, digged a wine press in it, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen. He traveled to far country. When it was time for the harvest, he sent servants in order to receive them. And it says the husbandmen in verse 35 took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another, and again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent to them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Well, instead, as you read this, they killed the son and cast him out. This is a parable about Jerusalem rejecting the prophets, just like we read there previous.
They killed him right there in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and that son is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying what's going to happen. He is going to be rejected. He is going to be killed and cast out, and that's exactly what they did to him.
Can I get your thought on verse 43?
Verse 43, therefore I say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bring forth the fruits thereof. Yeah, what's happened is exactly what Paul wrote about in Romans. Let me go back to Romans here. In Romans chapter, let me see here if this is what I'm thinking of. Romans chapter 11, where he says in Romans chapter 11, verse number, let's go up to verse number 17, where he says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted among them, with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in." And what he's talking about, well, let me read verse 20. "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." And it's talking about how, because of their rebellion and rejection of Christ, which was predicted in Daniel chapter 9 in the vision of the 70 weeks of years that are put on to Jerusalem, the holy city, and the Jewish people to fulfill God's judgment on them, they would reject the Messiah. God expected that. It wasn't a surprise. Like I said, it's prophesied right there in Daniel chapter 9. And when they rejected him, God took the kingdom away from them at that time. And instead, he grafted in the Gentiles, and he brought something new into the world, and that's called the church. And that's what, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're a part of a different group, not the Gentile, not the Jews. And God is working through the church today, through believers today, through born-again believers who come from a Jewish or a Gentile background. And he says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And we are grafted into the olive tree, but then he says this in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." See, that's where they were, the kingdom was taken away from them. This is what you were talking about there in Matthew. "Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So he's saying there's coming a time in the future where God will again work with them. This is like when he cast them out from the land, when he sent Nebuchadnezzar against Jerusalem, and they destroyed the city and they destroyed the temple because of their rebelliousness, because they went after false gods. God raised up the Babylonians as a tool of judgment against them. They were cast out, the temple was destroyed. And for 70 years, they were evicted from the land. Their kingdom was taken away from them back then, too. But then they were restored to the land. Well, when it came time for the Messiah to come into the world, they rejected the Messiah, just like they had rejected God previously. And so they were cast out once more. The kingdom was taken away from them. But Paul says that someday in the future, all Israel shall be saved. We're not talking about the church here. We're not talking about spiritual Israel here, because he says this in verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes." So he's clearly talking about the Jewish people, not spiritual Israel, which is a term that can be applied to us. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." And so this is what he's saying. They're still beloved. God has a purpose for them. And as you read the book of Revelation in chapter 11 and elsewhere in the book of Revelation and in the Old Testament, there's plenty of places that attest to the fact that one day the Jewish people, who currently are under the rejection of Christ as their Messiah, will realize that he is the Messiah. They will put their faith in Christ, and just like Paul's writing here to the Romans, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Their sins are going to be taken away from them, and then God will elevate them to the position that he has for them, that he's never said would be denied them. They've just lost the kingdom for a time.
Would you say that the majority of people living in Jerusalem accept Jesus as their Messiah?
No. Would you?
No.
Well, then we're in agreement. So, okay.
So, in other words, you're saying that this takes place in the far distant future?
Well, I just said in the future. I don't know how far in the future. This could be 7 years in the future. This could be 70 years in the future. I tend to think it's closer to 7 than 70, because this is going to take place during the tribulation period. There's some argument as to whether it'll take place at the midpoint of the tribulation or perhaps toward the end of the tribulation, but this is an event that's going to take place during the tribulation period, and during that time when they realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah that had been rejected, then here it is. It says, all Israel shall be saved.
What would cause them to realize that Jesus was the Messiah?
Well, obviously, when they see the prophecies fulfilled, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place, will be a big one. That's Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. When they see the Antichrist step into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and claim to be God and demand that people worship them, that's what the abomination of desolation most likely is. And they'll see that, and then when the blindness is taken away from them, they'll realize, yes, Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies. He was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophet Micah said. He was born of a virgin, just like the prophet Isaiah said. He was of the tribe of Judah, descendant of Jesse through his son David, just like Isaiah said. And on and on and on, they'll see that he answered the prophetic scriptures, promises of the Messiah. They'll realize that, yes, he's the Messiah. They'll reject the Antichrist, and they will accept him as their Messiah, and they'll realize that he had died and shed his blood on the cross to pay for their sins, that yes, indeed, he was crucified back in the first century. And they will realize their mistake, and they will call upon the name of the Lord, and God will take away their sins.
So you feel that it won't be until the Antichrist shows up that they'll do all this?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I understand your position
there. All right. Okay, well, I appreciate the call there tonight, John.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And talking about the prophecy of Daniel here, let me just turn back there to where, and this ties in with a caller earlier who was talking about Jerusalem and the importance of Jerusalem. And in this prophecy, I like the book of Daniel. There's so many things in there. Many people have drawn parallels between Daniel's book and John's book, the last book of the New Testament, the Revelation. And it's because Daniel and John both were given a revelation, revelations of things happening in the end of the days. And in Daniel chapter 9, there is a very interesting one, where he says this, starting verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, he's talking to Daniel, and when he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, literally what he's talking about here are weeks of years. Now, I'm not going to really have all the time and everything to get into all the details on this to prove that, but one of the simple proofs of that is when you look at these things and if you count them as days, 70 weeks of days, none of the timing here works out. But if you consider each day as being equal to a year, being representative of a year, so a week represents a period of 7 years, literally 70 heptads of years, and when you substitute years for days, all the timing works out on the things that are said in this prophecy. And not having all the detailed things in front of me to be able to give you all the details, we'll just hit the highlights here. But 70 weeks, he says, are determined upon thy people. Well, who are the people of Daniel? Well, that's a good question. How would we know that? Well, let's go to the book, the beginning of the book of Daniel here, in Daniel chapter number 1, and it says In the third year, Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. Now notice that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. So it goes through that, and let me drop down here for time's sake. Verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So there's Daniel. He's a children of Judah, one of the Israelites that was brought into there. And so the people of Daniel are the Jewish people. And upon thy holy city. Well, who is that? That is, or what is that? That's Jerusalem. And he says that this is to make an end to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. Well, you calculate these days given, these weeks given, and it brings us to the time that Jesus entered into the into Jerusalem and the Palm Sunday that we celebrate, and that corresponds to the timing given here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, and then 26. Messiah is cut off, but not for himself, and it comes on talking about the city and the sanctuary being destroyed, and then in verse 26, the Antichrist confirming the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the last week. That's the last 7 years, which are on hold right now. We're in a parenthesis between the 69th week and the 70th week. And then that's when he comes in and causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And like I said, we just went through some of that really quick. But study that out. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse number 24. I do have one more caller who's called in here. And we got just a few minutes left. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Pastor Al.
And, hi, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Pastor Al, so just to be quick, yeah, there's some things in the Old Testament that are carried over the New Testament, you know, a lot of things, you know, the New Testament will quote them, but
right.
Calling like regarding like, okay, giving I see in the New Testament, you know, and Paul quotes the Old Testament, you know, you don't muzzle the ox, but try to thought the corn, and you need to provide for the needs of the church and the, you know, the one who preaches the word, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm wondering, because there was a lot of like tithes and things in the Old Testament that, you know, are not practiced, you know, it's
right. Yeah. There are a lot of different tithes and offerings that were involved in worshiping with the temple.
Right. And I mean, I see the tithe that Abraham, you know, he paid the tithes to Melchizedek, he gave him a tenth of all.
Right.
Like that,
and that was prior to the law, correct?
That was right. And so my question is regarding like tithing today, because it's taught in many churches. It's like, well, the tithe is like the 10% of you know, a person's income, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I mean, I read what Paul says, you know, God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's a lot about giving and, you know.
Yeah. We're coming right rapidly up. We got about a minute left. So
to point the question then. The churches teach it like a lot of ways. It's like, well, it's a tenth.
Well, yeah, the word tithe means a tenth. That's where we get the idea of a tenth. That's what the word, the Hebrew word that gives us tithe means. It's a tenth. And a lot of churches teach that we should give a tenth of our income. That's what they did in the Old Testament prior to the law. Like you said, Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. And of course, under Jewish law, they were required to give a tenth. And then there were other tithes and offerings. Offerings were beyond that. And God does love a cheerful giver. The people working in the temple lived off from the tithes and offerings in the temple as well. And unfortunately, we don't have time to get any more of that. We've got only about 10 seconds left, or 15 seconds left. But We'll pick that up another time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope you'll join us again next week. And good night, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.